Martin Amis's new novel, Night Train, starts off sounding like a classic noir thriller. A hard-boiled female detective by the name of Mike Houlihan, who narrates the book, is asked by her former boss to investigate the death of his beautiful daughter, Jennifer Rockwell. But before the investigation is even underway, the plot veers into the dark territory of postmodern immorality, a theme common in many of Amis's other novels. One critic describes him as a social commentator of lethal imagination and savage wit. His books include Dead Babies, Money, London Fields, Time's Arrow, and The Information. His father is the late Kingsley Amis, a well-known British novelist. Here's Martin Amis reading from his new novel, Night Train.
In my time, I have come in on the aftermath of maybe 1,000 suspicious deaths, most of which turned out to be suicides or accidentals or plain unattendeds. So I've seen them all. Jumpers, stumpers, dumpers, dunkers, bleeders, floaters, poppers, bursters. I have seen the bodies of bludgeoned one-year-olds. I have seen the bodies of gang-raped nonagenarians. I have seen bodies left dead so long that your only shot at a time of death is to weigh the maggots. But of all the bodies I have ever seen, none has stayed with me in my gut like the body of Jennifer Rockwell. I say all this because I am part of the story I'm going to tell, and I feel the need to give some idea of where I'm coming from.
Martin Amis, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
How much do you know about where someone like Detective Mike Houlihan is coming from? Did you do some research for this book?
Yes, I did, but only in my study. I didn't hang out in a police department for a year, but I read books by people who did, particularly David Simon's book, Homicide, and many others of the same kind, although his was far superior to anything else I read. And I read a few dozen noirish novels to get a feel for the genre. But I keep meaning to do research, but I never get round to it. And I think I'm following an instinct there that, you know, if you do the research, then it particularizes it too much. And it's better to kind of drag it through your psyche and hope for a universalizing process, and also taking it out of time a little, so that, you know, you're not just recording the style of that particular year. That way you hope it'll, you know, stand up over time.
So you feel if you actually did some legwork, you'd get too bogged down in the facts?
Yeah, Tom Wolfe said that, you know, of his book, The Bonfire of the Vanities, that the writer should, you know, have 90% research, 10% inspiration. I very much enjoyed and admired his book, but I think it should be the other way around, that you should get your foundation from research and then hope that the imagination can do the rest.
Why'd you set it in America?
Because the police environment in England is such a depressed and dowdy world, whereas policing in America is very expressive and even sexualized. You know, American police are proud of being that, of being the central figures in the modern landscape. In England, for various class reasons, the police, you know, their heads are much lower set on their shoulders. They don't, you know, thrust as much as their American equivalents. And also, you know, there is no noir in England. The genre just doesn't live there.
One of the mysteries of the book, I guess the first mystery, is whether the death is by murder or suicide. And Detective Houlihan goes about trying to figure that out. And you write up this for her, a great suicide do's and don't list. Don't live where the sun doesn't shine. Don't be an adolescent homosexual. Don't be depressed. Lighten up. Don't be a man. How did the do's and don'ts advice occur to you? Did you do a little research on suicide for the passage?
I did. I read 4 or 5 books about suicide. Not at the intellectual end of it, you know, The Savage God, Al Alvarez's book, not that kind of thing, just purely statistics and, you know, to establish patterns. It's a it's a horrible and mysterious subject, suicide, and that I found, you know, more disturbing than anything I read about in true crime. Suicide is a more appalling departure than even than murder, it seems to me.
Why?
Well, Chesterton put it this way, and I read this remark after I'd published the book, but I realized that that my book was a kind of annotation of this insight. Chesterton said that suicide is a far greater crime than murder, because whereas the murderer kills one or two or maybe a handful of people, the suicide kills everyone. It is a rejection of the planet, and that is a terrible thing. It's interesting that, you know, there were so many social penalties against the suicide in the past. You would be punished by taxation, the family would be punished, you would be buried in unsanctified ground, you would be buried perhaps at the crossroads under a pile of rubble with a stake through your heart. And as James Joyce says in Ulysses, remarks on that, he says, as if their hearts weren't broken enough already. And I think that perhaps sets the modern mood for the contemplation of suicide. We feel nothing but a kind of awful pity, and we understand that for some, they just can't make it, you know, they can't hack it, and that we feel no disapproval anymore. We just feel a kind of awe and horror.
I'm speaking with Martin Amis. He is the author of a number of books, including London Fields, Time's Arrow, and The Information. His new novel is Night Train. Your father, Kingsley Amis, was a well-known English novelist. Did he warn you off writing?
He didn't say anything about it at all, probably out of indolence. But he never encouraged me, and he never discouraged me. And I think that's certainly the line I'm going to take with my children. I knew a couple of cases of quite well-known writers who encouraged their children to write, and in both cases, it ruined the relationship. To say to your 16-year-old son you could be a writer is really an egotistical act. You're saying that I'm so wonderful that it's rubbed off on you. And it's also a very complicated thing you're saying to the child. You're saying, you can be me, you can have my life. My father didn't do that, and I'm grateful that he didn't. You've got to let them find their own bent.
As a kid, or later, as an adult, did you read your father's novels to get to know him better?
I didn't come to his novels until my late teens, and I didn't even know what kind of novelist he was. I mean, as far as I knew, he could have been writing westerns or sex and shopping novels, although I have to admit that would have been extremely unlikely. But when I did start reading him, I remember thinking, it's just like being with him when he's absolutely, absolutely at his best. And I still think that's what the novel is, and that's what, you know, if I die tomorrow, that's what my children will be able to see when they come to read me at my best. It is the best of you.
Now, how did his death influence your writing, if at all, in any way that you can talk about?
I think it'll influence, you know, everything that comes after. Your father is a part of yourself, and you lose a part of yourself when he dies. You also, as Freud noted, you also feel energized by the death of the father for mysterious reasons, but what you mainly feel is alive, intensely alive, because that part of you has died and fallen away into the past. So it strengthens you and, you know, devastates you at the same time. It's not something you're ever going to get over. It's just part of your life from then on.
What are you working on now?
I've just finished a book of short stories, and I'm writing a memoir about the last few years of my life, most recent years, and about my father, and about my cousin, who disappeared in 1973 and was exhumed from the backyard of the most prolific mass murderer in English history, Fred West, in 1995.
Do you know exactly what happened to her?
No, when she disappeared, there was a nationwide search. Her face was everywhere you looked. Have you seen this girl? It was, you know, every police force in England was galvanized into searching for her.
And then the investigation led nowhere and it lapsed?
Right.
For decades?
Until Fred West was finally investigated thoroughly, and the rumors spread by his children, funny enough, about there being bodies in the back garden, was finally taken up by a female detective, funny enough, who showed the kind of persistence. You know, she backed her hunch, and she there was revealed a scene that horrified the entire country.
How did it affect you? Did you go back and, as you're writing, did you try to recreate her last moves or how she arrived in this position?
No. I tell her story and I establish the sort of person she was. She was, if he was evil, she was good, with a capital G. And it was just an unbelievable collision of innocence and experience. She was at a bus stop. She was heading for a bus stop, and that's all that's known. I will write. What really, took me back was that I realized her presence in the novels I'd written between her disappearance and her discovery, and realized that there were kind of missing girls, missing young women in my books, and that it had been at the back of my mind. And it's the things at the back of your mind that go into your novels, not the things in the forefront. It's the things that bother you without actually seeming to preoccupy you that bleed into your fiction.
And now that you know what happened to her, the bare facts of it, how does that change? What's going on in the back of your mind?
Well, it remains to be seen. But I thought I wanted to memorialize her. Was the main. She's the dedicatee of the information too, and she was an interesting poet, as well as being intensely religious and had recently converted to Roman Catholicism. But I suppose I wanted to bring her into the forefront of my mind and meditate on what happened to her. I mean, not her last hours or anything of that kind, because nothing is known about that. I mean, it's known what happened to her after death and what was done to the body and so on, but I would not inquire into that, but just to absorb the meaning of this collision.
Martin Amis, I want to really thank you for talking today.
Thanks a lot.
Martin Amis's new novel is Night Train. This is Fresh Air.